But, you know, even, but I have to throw shade. Anyways,
you do.
But it was still this kind of mutual understanding. Like, yeah. I don't have
you
to
get each other.
Yeah. I don't have to explain to you why you shouldn't touch my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Why your hand can't hover around my
don't
hair.
Don't get in the weave.
Yeah, don't get. Stay out. Yeah, stay out. Don't even put your hand near my head.
They understand.
They understand. They understand that you need to spice up your food.
Yeah.
What's good? My name's Nuria.
And my name is Caroline. This is the Cathartic Experience.
Two therapists talking about life
in an unfiltered way.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome and welcome back to episode.
Lord knows. We don't know. We don't know anymore at this point, to be quite honest. We have no damn clue.
We're just showing up. We just show up right now.
Honestly, show up, show out, call it a day.
Yeah, but I'm glad we can make it.
1,000%. So yeah. We'll start with our typical question. How are you?
I'm noticing that you often ask me how I am doing instead of me asking you how you're doing. I'm trying to dodge the question. Oh, I'm always doing okay. How am I doing? I'm doing okay. I'm sleeping in more. Did you notice in my schedule? Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sleeping in more. Taking time to be at home. Sometimes I do just, you know, sessions from home, which is good. I'm trying to put, you know, to clarify some things and set up some things with my husband.
it's
weird.
Her posture changed when she said husband.
Yeah. So
all right, what are you trying to put in place?
A little bit. Like joint accounts. I need to change my name. I need to change my address.
Oh, Jesus.
Ooh, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I was actually so overwhelmed because yesterday I was telling him, like, there's a lot of things I need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it, it's like, you know, like your health card, your driver's license, your passport, your everything needs to change. And I was telling him, like, we might move again in a few months. So I'm like, why not change it then? And it's like, I don't know. It's something I just have to do. It's been 5 months now. Yeah.
It's a lot of logistics.
It is. Yeah. But what I did is I changed, I started changing like my last name on like the socials, and I'm doing like a like email and
you're trickling it.
Yeah, I'm like a trickle person. I don't do all like bam in one go. Like give me time. This is a lot for me.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah. So I'm getting to it. How about you? How have you been?
It's been a lot of. I think there are a lot of exciting new things in my life, but. With those things comes a lot of mini prepping, like, you know, even hosting like a Friendsgiving and having to have like the house clean and all the food bought and the list of people finalized. And, you know, we're setting up a wine and cheese, our first one ever. It's going to be bought, but we have to set up the space, got to make sure it's clean. We got to finalize the list. We got to finalize the food and the music and things like that too.
We have to agree on the catering.
So it's like I try to get involved in all these things, but of course they take work, and some of these things you could only take a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, per day. So you feel like it's literally you're trying to climb a mountain, but you can only take one step per day.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like. But it's been very exciting in that front in terms of, you know, forcing myself to socialize, forcing myself to adult and form adult circles, which is a struggle.
Which is different.
Yeah, in and of itself. But on top of that, and I might as well talk about it. Well, I've been trying to turn this into a season of intentional isolation. Meaning really using discernment to make sure that I'm aware of how I spend my time, my energy, who I spend my time and energy with, how much of myself I give to people. And it's really kind of interesting when you kind of listen to yourself and you're like, maybe I don't want to interact with this person today. And you just allow yourself to not and come back when you're ready. Because I feel like I'm always having to keep up with all these things. And I'm like, well, I don't technically have to, though I want to. So it's different as an adult when you're kind of making sense of things and giving yourself permission to take breaks when you need them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Today's topic will be dating black man. You hear that, Negroes? We talk about you.
dating black men.
Yeah, dating black men. So context
is important.
Context is very, very important. Tell first, Kawalin, tell us.
Why do you have to say my name in such a Haitian way? It's like you swallowed the Kawalin.
Tell us about your history in dating black men.
Yeah. So, where do we start? So, yeah, have I always dated black men? I feel like growing up, or actually when we were in university, I did date black men. I dated a few black men. Yeah. Mm. And I was, while selecting the topic of today, I was thinking about that. I just feel like the experience is different. When you date a black man, like, you don't need to explain so much as to, like, you know, like, your braids or your hair, like, your perm, your natural hair, like, all of that, you don't need to explain it, and culturally as well.
We'll get to that as a pro.
Okay.
But we just want to form the foundation of I have dated black men. Have you had any long-term relationships with black men?
No.
No offense, but are we counting your husband as black?
Oh, Steve.
Because he's a little lighter skin. I get he's from Madagascar. He's like a nugget.
Yeah.
He's like a nugget. Yeah. Ah! Hi, Steve. He's editing this right now, probably.
He's going to edit it. I don't know. Steve is black adjacent. we'll say Steve is black. We'll give him his black card. But yeah, I guess Steve is like my, yeah. So I guess, yeah, I have dated a black man.
Long term. Ish, kind of, not really. Anyways, my context, the funny part is, I actually grew up primarily dating white people.
Yeah.
Those were like my longest term relationships.
Yeah.
And I think some of it has to do with my internalized perceptions of blackness growing up. I mean, I grew up in Brooklyn, but then I transitioned to growing up in Canada. I immigrated to Canada at a very young age. And the black population, especially where I lived, it wasn't that prominent. And at that time, I think there was a lot of media and stuff that informed my perception of black people. Like, if you think of the media at that time, it did really depict this kind of like unidimensional picture of black people, black men as thugs.
Yeah, it did.
That was like the only imagery for a long time. The only guy we saw kind of deviate from that was like Steve Urkel, like the nerdy black dude.
Yeah.
But like in a lot of media that I consumed, it was like the black guy is cool, he has swagger, or he's hella dangerous.
Yeah.
So in my mind, and especially growing up in Brooklyn, that was the context. But there's a whole socio-political economic context surrounding that. But the reality was that a lot of the black men I did grow up with when I was in Brooklyn did tend to be kind of more gang oriented. I had a particular perception of black men growing up, and I think I falsely believed and internalized that whiteness was better. So for a long time in my life, I actually stayed away from black men because of the stereotypes, because I had troubles with my own blackness and stuff like that too.
Were you called an Oreo growing up?
By one of my cousins,
yeah.
But it's funny because I've always had a mix of two or both. Like, I have, you know, like when it comes to English grammar, vocabulary, like, I bounce between, you know, slang and quote unquote regular speaking all the time. I'm using the one thing every two words.
When I feel speak. Like, yeah, my prom date was black, but I feel like People were never, like, black men were never really checking for me like that.
Black men?
Yeah. 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 Like, student council, environment club. Like, ain't nobody checking for you like that, you know? Yeah, but
it's so interesting because it's like, I remember in my little school, in both of my school experiences, I remember there was this, in elementary school, there was a black guy who was crushing on me the whole elementary school years, and he admitted it to me, and I was like, and then in high school, same thing. There is this nigga named, I'm gonna call you out, Francis. He is,
I gotta say his full name.
I was not in any classes because I was in immersion, which is the half French program at my school. I was in that program. He was not in my program. He was in none of my classes. And yet this man, every single birthday I had on Facebook, would personally wish me a happy birthday.
Yeah.
So black men were low-key checking for me.
I feel like black men were low-key checking for you. But do you count? Yeah, I feel like I've dated a lot of mixed guys. Or dated. Went on dates with.
But I think, yeah, my first black encounter was was actually in LA a few years ago. I actually like the dude. I like the dude, but he lives too damn far. But it's not until recently where I've really been checking for black men like that. And let me tell you, it's a journey, sis. What the fuck? It's a journey, and it's not an easy one. I got played how many times now in the span of a few months.
We were talking to Gigi the other day, and she was like, it's been a rough summer for you.
It has. I got played by minimum two this summer.
Yeah.
And I was like, nigga, why?
Why are we doing that? I was here. I witnessed.
So I have mixed feelings about dating black men. How about you?
I do have mixed feelings about dating black men. I think that a lot of black men don't do the work, like the inner work, like the therapeutic work, like, and a lot of black women are doing it. So we're coming to the table almost like ready to date and, like, you know, like in a proper way, we're balanced, you know, we're taking care of ourselves. We've realized some things and they're just coming at us crooked, you know? No therapy. They don't believe in that.
They don't believe in it. They don't believe in feelings. They don't know how to communicate their feelings. I was talking to this black guy the other day, and I was asking him questions about how he was feeling and why he was thinking certain things. And he was like, why are you asking so many questions?
And it's like, because I'm interested and I'm inquisitive and I want to get to know you.
And I can only know if what I ask. And it's like any level of depth sometimes makes them so incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah. They're not ready for all of that.
No, and I think the thing is, especially when it comes to being a black man, there are so many different things societally that influence their perceptions of themselves. Like, even if we think about, you know, the huge influence rap music has had recently, if you're honestly sitting and listening to most rap music aside from conscious rap, like even Kendrick shit, you know, you'll hear a lot of it is about soothing and numbing. Yeah. Soothing and numbing with ass, soothing and numbing with Percocet, Molly,
drinking,
partying, throwing money in the air and everything in between. Like, there's a sense of, like, this is how you cope with life. This is how you celebrate life. And I feel like that does influence what black men internalize, especially if that's primarily what their playlist is about.
It's dangerous.
I don't mean to sound like I don't support rap music. I bop to that shit all day, every day, but I don't live by it.
Yeah, you're able to differentiate. Yeah, there's two separate things, your life and then the music you consume.
Exactly. But for some people, those are so intertwined.
Yeah, they're the same.
So I've met a lot of black men who, like, overly invest in this hip hop music as a way of thinking about women, as a way of thinking about money. Men who have collections of shoes that are worth more than, you know, their investment in themselves in any other way.
And to me,
it's a little embarrassing, and I'm not afraid to say
when you don't have money saved up for your, you know, for your tuition or for your kids, but you have like over 100 pairs of shoes.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
It is a whole issue.
Yeah, but it's glorified.
But it's glorified. Looking good. Like
you have the next J's, right?
Actually,
I don't care if it's $200. You don't have that $200.
Actually, though, looking, you know, having drip and all this stuff. Ice. And it's like, I understand the socio-historical context in terms of, you know, enslavement and what that has done to our mentality. Yeah. And at the same time, I understand there's a responsibility to break away from that. And it feels like so few Black men actually want to break away from that and rewrite the narrative for themselves.
I know, but I, you know what? I think that sometimes when they look at you, it's like, I could go for on this route, or I could go the other route, which is much more difficult, and I will face so many obstacles
trying to
fit in this Western white world,
right?
So I much rather, you know what I mean, buy the nice car now,
the
Benz that I can't afford,
right,
and buy these shoes,
right,
and party and not be responsible,
right?
Then, you know, force themselves to fit into a mold that wasn't even created for them.
Or by them.
Yeah.
That narrative wasn't even created by Black men. It was created by white people who wanted to make sure that they had the best looking slaves. You know what I mean? Yeah. In comparison to other people's slaves and shit like that. So it's like, it's insane the amount of unconditioning and unlearning we have to do.
Yeah. And
even till this day.
Far. It comes from so far.
Yeah. So deep in history.
So deep in history.
But again, I can only speak to my experience of dating the Black men I have. So emotionally, lacking some level of depth, not that they're not logical. They are logical, but so few. I actually met one. I was actually shocked. He was willing and able to be vulnerable with me. And I was taken aback by that. Like his ability to talk about his fear and his concern and even attune to me emotionally. I feel like as someone who's primarily dated white people, they tend to be a little more soft. They tend to be a little more soothing and caring. And this may just be how they operate within their race. Because, you know, when you have privilege, too, it also shapes your upbringing and how people interact with one another. So I don't want to feel want anyone to feel like I'm discounting this. But, you know, it's just when it comes to soothing warmth, it's different. Yeah. But when it comes to the Black people I have, you know, messed with, because I've never had a long-term Black partner, there is a sense of understanding and relating to that you don't have to, like you said, explain. It's connecting on a whole other level. When somebody could speak your native language, when you can share the same music with that person, when they use slang and you understand what it means, or you eat the same foods and you can use the same type of expressions, it's
and
a different
like,
vibe.
Caribbean and African cultures, like they're similar in many ways.
Right.
But it's like, I don't have to explain things to you as much.
Right.
And it's just, it hits different.
It feels like, I remember talking to my therapist about that. Shout out, Lindsay. but I remember talking to my therapist about that. And I was like, it felt like home. When I met my first, like, because the first Black guy I messed with was American Black. But when I dealt with my first Haitian, even though he was trifling,
F to the nines.
Even though he was trifling as feck, he still felt like home because we shared that commonality in terms of like culture and Blackness.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have taken better care of his hair because that shit was rough as fuck. But, you know, even but I have to throw shade. Anyways,
you do.
But it was still this kind of mutual understanding. Like, I don't have to
get each other.
I don't have to explain to you why you shouldn't touch my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Why your hand can't hover around my
don't
hair.
Don't get in the weave.
Yeah, don't get...
Stay out.
Yeah, stay out. Don't even put your hand near my head.
They understand.
They understand that you need to spice up your food.
They understand.
And it's just a lot of things are understood that you can't explain, and it is that feeling of home. What other positive things can you think about when it comes to dating Black men? I like the banter. I love my white people.
I love there's like understanding.
I love my white people, and at the same time, some of y'all ain't really funny like that, like that. Like, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But you, the yeah. say, the expression is different when you're yeah. talking to a black person versus a white person. Black people is like whoop-de-woo, like we use whoop-de-woo.
Yeah, yo,
we're using expression. Mm-hmm. Mind you, you know,
we're touching each other,
we're
pushing laughing. Each other.
The level of expression is so pronounced.
Yes, falling off your chair.
Actually, so there are a lot of terms and expressions that we use together that I've loved as part of the dynamic mm-hmm. when. You know, engaging with another black person, because I can look at the nigga and be like, "You stupid," and he'll know. He won't take it personally.
It's a joke.
Or you can say something like, "You play too damn much," yeah. like, and he gets it.
Yeah.
So there are some expressions that you can share that you don't have to explain what it means.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
It just works, but I feel for me in my experience in dating black men, one of the things that I notice is like being misogynistic, and that was an issue for me. Remember my date with yours was ketchup. I think mine was mustard. These two black men that we dated quote unquote went on dates with.
Yes,
to clarify.
Yes, thank you for that clarification.
We ain't dated nobody like that. And we were talking, first of all, hella late. That's one thing I don't appreciate. Can we have white standard time, please? Because I waited 30 minutes for you. And then you just roll up like nothing's wrong.
Nah, nigga, I would have bounced by 15.
See, that's something I can't
rock with.
What? No, I can't rock with that. Because we have to talk about the good, like we have to talk about the bad.
Yeah, we have to do the good, the bad, the ugly. Yeah. We got to talk about it all. Yeah. And that's the thing. They sometimes have this misogynistic element. And I don't know if it's just because black women have to operate in a certain way in this world to survive. And usually the way we protect our ass is mm-hmm. by being assertive. But a lot of black men, and I'm not saying all of you.
The ones that we've had experiences with.
Exactly. The ones that we've had experiences with tend to be a little threatened if we're a little too assertive.
And I remember I was having a conversation with him, Teddy. And because we called him Teddy at the time. And he was like, no, like I, because we're just like theoreticals, right? Because we were both in school. Right. And I think he was studying to become like an electrician or something.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm probably going to do my master's. Right. Then I don't know, but I'm probably going to do that. I'm like, I'm expecting to make a decent amount of money.
Exactly.
And I was like, maybe I'll make more money than you. And he was like, nah, like I can't be with someone who makes more money than me.
The niggatry.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's not because, and I'm like, let's hypothetically, it's not because I make more money than you that I'm going to belittle you or make you feel mm-hmm. small. Or, but he was like, nah, I can't be with a woman that makes more money than me. And that craziness. That was that.
Craziness. I had some new dude. He cool, he cute or whatever. But we'll see how one is ever cute.
It's like, he's okay.
He's aight.
He's aight.
We'll see how things unfold. But he was telling me, you know, you gotta cook for your man because I don't cook. And that's something
I don't clean.
Yo, literally. I'll say that with my whole chest till the day I die. I ain't finna cook for nobody.
Yeah. I'm having trouble cooking for myself.
So, actually, no, we got time like that to throw here. Down in the kitchen for 4 hours. Nah,
we're in here a lot.
We're in here too much.
So we need a partner that's able to collaborate and understand.
Exactly.
You know, it's not because you're cooking and cleaning that makes you lesser than.
Exactly. Yeah. And the thing is, he was talking about, you're going to cook for your man. I was like, no, I don't cook. Just so you know now, I don't do that. He's like, what are you talking about? Like, you need to, you know, cook for your man. Like, and I'm like, what if I'm making more at work than you? He's like, don't worry, girl. Like, put your change aside. Like, you got to know who run this shit. I'm like, you got the wrong bitch.
You have to know who run this.
You have to. Because the thing is, for me, partnership, it's either equal or I'm dominating. Mm. Because I know at least if I dominate, it won't be at a place of devaluing you. But men do this thing when they're dominating you. Sometimes it's because they see you as less than.
Mm-hmm. Or as a threat.
Or as a threat. So they try to keep you in a place. But if you really love your woman, you're not going to be scared of her shining bright.
Right.
That's like, what are you scared of? And I feel like a lot of black men have that complex. Yeah. Where it's like, you can't shine brighter than me. You can't, also, you know, run this shit.
Right?
It's really cultural. Very
my
traditional.
My dad doesn't know how to cook anything. Like, my mom is the one who cooks all the time. You know? Yeah. He knows how to make hot dogs. He knows how to fry an egg. But, like, to really make a full meal, he doesn't have that. He does. My grandpa never changed a diaper.
Oh.
You see what I mean? And so, Haitian men coming here, straight from Haiti, they have these expectations that things are going to be a certain... And it's like, no, not for me.
Right.
I'm not the one. You know?
Yeah, or the two, or the three, or the four. Hello? Yeah.
And I think it's probably the same thing for men coming, you know, from different countries in Africa.
That's true. That's true. But I feel like...
But I'm glad Steve's mom taught him how to cook. That's
amen
a plus.
To that. Yeah. Amen to that. But I feel like black men tend to be a bit more, like you were saying, like inflexible.
Yeah. With
some of their gender roles, they remain very inflexible. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's a problem. For me, that's a problem. I'm not saying it's a problem
for
everybody.
More like a partnership.
Actually, though.
Yeah.
Actually, though.
I'm putting in, you're putting in, and that's how we move.
Actually, another thing about black men that pisses me off. Who normalize having several biddies on the go? What? And I think this is something that is so culturally ingrained sometimes, this idea of I have this one woman over here, one woman over there, over there, over there. And it's like, do you know how many, even in our clients, seeing our black clients, getting to talk to our black clients, how many of them come from broken families? Because their dad, not their mom, their dad did not know how to act right. Why is the standard for black men so low, when it comes to showing up in a relationship? It's like they think breathing air around their kid is enough.
The trauma. Yeah, definitely. And especially, like, even when it comes to things happening within the family structure, it's I have so many clients that, like, you know, like a uncle or a dad, like, abused them sexually. And then they were asked to keep it as a secret.
Right.
Because it's like, well, this is going to destroy the entire family. You know, or dad's not showing up right.
Madness.
Not being there. Like, presence is such a big thing for, like, it's a big thing for kids. It's you just showing harness. Up at the show, you know, or showing up at the game.
Being present.
Yeah. Black dads just not being there. And then they would do things like, I have a lot of Nigerian clients where it's like, well, he pays the school fees. That's not enough.
That's not enough.
That is not enough. That like, your kid needs you to be there.
It's like a quarter of what you... Not even a quarter, a tenth. A sixteenth of what's required to be a parent.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why the standard is so low and it's like...
It's so low for black men.
My thing is, it's like normalized to bring kids into the world. I understand you were...